This is your brother James, and this is the Not As I Will podcast. Welcome. Thanks for joining us today. I wanted to kind of dive into some of the things, you know, that just society, it's just gross, you know, just the things in society that are gross. And I think as a believer, there should be some level of disgust with society. There was a guy, Eugene Peterson, I heard this at church. He quoted that you should have an extreme disgust for society, which, you know, sure. Yeah, we should have an extreme disgust, but I, you know, if you don't have a disgust, I think is more the question. If you're walking through life and everything's just happy, there's no problems, you're just kind of ignoring the problems, that's not good. That's not good. That's just being flat out naive, right? There has to be some level of understanding that there's just like a disgust with what's going on, you know? I don't listen to a ton of pastors, I listen to my pastor, right? I go to Bible study, I'll listen to that guy, but I don't like pull up people online and listen to them all the time, which I don't know if that's good or not. I haven't quite come to terms with the fact that, you know, maybe that's not a good thing, but whatever, you know, I don't like to do that. So what I do on my own time is I do like sports, and I primarily football, and I listen to a lot of like football talk, right? And you might say, oh yeah, that's, you know, that's a waste of your time, whatever. Well, I like football, you know. I don't think I have an unhealthy liking of it. I used to play football. I used to coach football. I used to have a very unhealthy love for it. It was I probably had multiple idols in my life regarding sports at one time in my life. However, not anymore. And I know that for sure because I can let it go at any time, and I have let it go. So there's things that, you know, kind of take my attention away from God. And when they do that, that's not good, right? And only you know what those things are, right? And at one time, football, wrestling, track, whatever it was, used to be that for me. And I had to deal, you know, I had to go through a lot. I had to deal with it, you know? And it was good. It was healthy for me. I mean, it was better than the alternative of what I would be doing, you know? So there was a time for it. And now, you know, that time's gone. You know, the focus I need to be on is more on my wife and the things that God has for us, you know? And, I do enjoy playing the game. So I'll go and like, I was in a league for a while. I did that. And, that was like a once a week thing, you know, and it didn't supersede what I did for God, you know, like it's not like that time I spent more time doing that than I did with God, that type of thing. You know what I mean? So it's intentional time anyway. You know, you always should have God with you. You should always be praying constantly, you know, pray without ceasing and all things give thanks for this is the will of God for your life. So anyway. Just expanding on this, right? So I was listening to a guy, and it's funny because these guys are, you know, they're obviously ingrained, like serving the idol of sports, right? And that's pretty clear. And that's the one thing where, you know, I have to keep in check is like, am I really listening to these guys, or am I just kind of, it's more of a relaxing thing for me. It's like I'm driving to work, I'm listening, you know. I used to listen to probably a little too much. So what I started to do is like when I was going home, I wouldn't listen to anything, and I would just be quiet in my car and just listen to God, you know, hopefully during that time. And that's kind of where I detached, kind of like the where I was letting these people influence my life completely. And so anyway, I've kind of detached from them in that essence. But anyway, so I started to get kind of closer, you know, I started to listen to their words a little bit closer. And at times, you know, one of the guys, he's married, has kids, you know, seems like a good dude. He uses the term hall pass. He's like, oh, yeah, my wife gave me a hall pass. Now, my definition of a hall pass is different from somebody else's, right? And I've heard this, like I had a buddy, he's went to church with him. His wife gave him a hall pass. And I'm like, what? You know, like, what do you mean? And so I'm going to define hall pass, but I also think it could be something a little different, right? So hall pass, in my opinion, is like your wife gives you the license to go like cheat on her and with no remorse, right? Or, you know, maybe it's not cheat. Maybe it's like go to a strip club, right? And I just think it's absolutely ridiculous, first off. So don't sit here and think I'm like supporting it. And this guy, so I've heard this guy talk about church, right? This particular guy, talk show host I was listening to. And I realized in that moment, you know, and I see church, I see like the modern church do this, right? Is they attract people who are looking for a social club, right? Similar to a country club that doesn't require the same amount of investment in terms of money. And I realize that's what the modern, mostly in the US, I haven't been to other countries to necessarily compare this, but I would say in the US, this is a serious issue. You're just attracting people to come to a social club that doesn't require the same amount of investment like a country club would. You know, and if you knew how much a country club investment costs, it's somewhere between like a quarter, some of them are obviously a little cheaper than this, but ones that I've heard of, they're like a quarter of a million to like $500,000 a year to be a part of, just to get in. And then you have to pay $3,000 a month just to stay in. And it's just insane. Cause then, you know, and you get everything. And I put this in quotations for free, right? But you paid all this money, so of course they're going to give you everything for free, right? But it's not free, obviously. So what I see from church is that there's all these different, you know, and the church does a good job at this. They create environments for fellowship, right? And people are attracted to that because people want connection. That's just what people want. And, you know, however it's done, and even Paul says this, Paul says, you know, whether it's from false motive or true, that the gospel is being preached, and that's all that matters. So I'm not sitting here saying that it's not necessary or it's not needed or it's all evil. It's not, right? It creates an environment where people can talk about the Lord. So I don't want to necessarily say that this is wrong. However, I do see an issue from the sense that you are attracting people who intentionally do not care about Jesus, you know, and don't want to get to know Jesus. They're there literally for the social aspect. And I do find this a little disturbing, because what you get is you get people who aren't actually believers, right? They're not actually believers, yet they're associated with a group of people who are believers. And then it becomes this, you know, now you get these political unrest where people are yelling at each other because, you know, one person's in the church, and because it aligns with their political views, right? Republican primarily, right? And I'm not a believer, and I've said this before, I am not a believer that Christians are either Republican or Democrat. I don't believe they're either one. You know, I believe you can lean one way or the other. I don't believe, if you're on the extreme end of either one, I don't believe that's where God wants you to be. So if you feel like, oh, I can't see a Republican being a Christian or because they're fascist, or I can't see a liberal being a Christian because they're a communist, you know? And it's like, okay. So, and a lot of people push back, right? I've heard this. A lot of people push back on me and they say, well, Jesus pissed a lot of people off. And I was like, well, yeah, but he wasn't declaring a side either. He pissed both sides off because he wasn't declaring a side. That's why he pissed people off. He wouldn't stick with the extreme left-wing Sadducees who were just, you know, basically like, you know, a little more liberal in their thinking and just, oh, we don't need to abide by the entire book, you know, the whole thing, we're good. And then you have the extreme right-wing Pharisees who are just extremely like law-based, everything, you know, this is to a T, we have to abide by this, this, and this. You know, I would, you know, that's where I would put them, you know, and you could, you know, guy who's probably studied this a little more could flip him, right? It doesn't matter. What I'm trying to say is he wasn't declaring a side with either one. And when I think of, you know, these churches, I think of people like it attracts. Like there's a guy I see regularly, right? And he lives with his girlfriend. He lives with a woman who is, you know, older. Or I mean, he's older, excuse me, not older, but he's older. He has kids with this woman and they're not married. And you might say, well, you know, if you've been with a woman, God declares you married, right? So yeah, sure. Okay. So we can go ahead and stay there, right? God, you know, you slept with this woman, so now you're one with her. So now God sees you as married. Okay, so yeah, you don't need to get married. Just yeah, we're good there. We don't have to get married. God sees us as married. Yet God declares that the covenant of marriage is sacred, right? And he wants to bless you through marriage. And when you don't completely commit to that person, what you're saying indirectly is that I am good for now, but I can get out of here if I had to. So there's no real commitment there, even though you've been with them for 50, you know, whatever, however long you've been with them, you could leave and there would be no, like, I don't have to go through a legal process. I don't have to cut tie. You know, I could keep my money. You can keep your money. Kids are out of the house. You know, it's just a really soft, way of commitment, right? Just very soft. But our society has totally gone this direction. And, you know, this is where that social aspect to me comes in, is you got these people coming into church, don't actually know the Lord, and they're living with their girlfriend. So other people see this and then they emulate it, right? And they think it's okay. And so what it's become is just become this social club more so than a place for people to be healed. Because what I see more and more of is I hang out with a group of older men, you know, couple groups, but one in particular, they're all married men. Okay. They all got married, yet they complain about the fact that they had to get married because they all live with their girlfriends prior to being married and they didn't see an issue with it. Right. And they don't. And so at some point in their walk, somebody like was like, hey, you should be married. So they eventually got married and now they're kind of a little bit of resentment, but kind of like, I never felt like I needed to do this. And it's just really funny to me because yet they got married because I know the Lord wanted them to be married. So they got married. So I tend to not listen to their words and more like, okay, you did what you're supposed to do. Yet I know that they're teaching others that it's okay to not get married or, you know, live with your girlfriend, whatever. And there's no problem with it. And this is where, you know, that seeping in of like people who don't know the Lord, right, are just seeping in and causing, you know, the believer to like be confused. I would say it's more of a confusion than it is like an actual like influence, right? And then, you know, in James chapter 3, chapter 3, James says, you know, where envy and self-seeking exist, envy and self-seeking, confusion and every evil thing are. Where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are. But then he comes to say, but the wisdom that descends from above is first pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle, it's willing to yield, and it's full of mercy and good fruits. And it's without partiality and without hypocrisy. That's James chapter 4 at the end, towards the end. Or sorry, chapter 3 at the end. Okay, so what James is trying to say is he's like, there's no hypocrisy in what God wants to do, right? And when you kind of manipulate what God wants to do by saying, oh yeah, you don't need to be married and you can live with you live with your girlfriend. Yeah, it's one woman, so at least you're monogamous, right? But God called us to something greater than monogamy. You know, you think it's good, right? You're just like, oh yeah, well, I'm monogamous. I don't cheat on my girlfriend. I hear this all. And this is mostly people that that are Christians who don't go to church. I hear this all the time. Well, I'm not cheating on my girlfriend, so I'm good. This is the state in which the Christian, you know, what I see the U.S. church is in. They don't want to hear. They don't want to be corrected. I even find myself holding my tongue because I know the minute I correct this person, the minute like there's a chasm between us, and then I, you know, then that's it, which is okay. I do believe that there, you know, there needs to be some sense of like severing ties with people who just are willing to not listen, right? So there's got to be some level of that. Jesus did that all the time. He would just say something to somebody and they would either follow him or they would just quit, you know? The kid who was like, oh, I need to go bury my parents. And he goes, follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. And the kid was just like confounded. Or the kid who wanted, Jesus said, you know, just go sell all you have and follow me. And he just couldn't. He couldn't do it. He was like distraught when Jesus said that. You know, so there's going to be some level of just like, you know, you say something and people are just like, okay, I'm good. But that's what I see more and more of, is the minute you say something that's just so like, you know, you should marry her, and they just totally like get turned off. That's where we're at, you know, because our society is, you know, you're with one person, so that's good. And the only reason you know to be with one person is because way back when our founding fathers found this country, you know, they all had their issues. Everybody has issues, right? But there was the Christian, the biblical standards of like marriage and, you know, being with one person were, you know, foundationally put into our country. And now, you know, the only reason we know that it's good to be with one person is because of those standards, right? So there's a level of, you know, there's like some kind of level of understanding of like, this is, we shouldn't be sleeping with multiple people, you know? And I mean, there's places in this country that are just messed up where they are doing like orgies and all kinds of stuff. And I'm sure there's even Christian people a part of these groups, right? And I know that people are starting to be more and more deceived from that sense of like, well, God loves me and God forgives me. You know, Jesus died for me and he forgives me, so I can do this. And yes, there is some level of truth to that. There is some level of truth to God dying for you, forgiving you, but he's also expecting you to have a return of like, oh, this is wrong. I should try to change. I should go to church. I should listen to counsel, and I shouldn't just like feed into my sin. All right. So this brings me to my next point. So I tend to lean, you know, pretty closely to, you know, more of a, I guess you could call like a grace teaching. And what do I mean by that? Not like a grace, like what I'm talking about, where people feel like, you know, God forgives me so I can do this, right? Like, yes, there's some level of truth to that. However, it's abused. So, you know, there's this movement, you know, and I go to a Bible study where this guy teaches grace, and he's, you know, he talks about how, you know, people don't like it because it gives you a license to sin. Well, yeah. And I understand why preachers won't kind of like completely buy into the complete, you know, and he talks about mixing law versus grace, right? And to some extent, I agree. However, that there has to be some level of understanding that, and some level of discipline in your life to know that these are things that I shouldn't be doing, you know? And when you start teaching this grace where people are like, oh, God just forgives me, then you get these like Christians out having multiple partners, doing these things that are just, you know, it's all flesh. It's the flesh. And that's where I have a concern with, you know, him essentially bashing pastors over the grace message. Is you are going to, you know, you get a brand new believer who's listening to this and is just like, oh, I can be gay. I can do this. I can do that. And it's like, well, you know, you have to fight your flesh. And that's where I'm kind of like, I find myself kind of like in that place where it's just like, no, but you need to fight, you know? So there also has to be some kind of level of understanding of like, oh no, I'm at this point. I had to fight my flesh for this long. And now I'm at a point where I can receive the grace of God and understand, yeah, when I sin, I am forgiven, you know, but I'm not habitually doing something that's like, you know, displeasing to God. And so when I'm listening to these, you know, these sermons from this guy, I have to, you know, I do love what he's saying, and it really does minister to me. But I also have to keep in mind, like, when you go around, you know, like preaching to people, telling them about, you know, this grace message, you got to know where they're at, like from a spiritual perspective. And if they're in a place of like, you know, just struggles, you know, they're just, you know, I'm out partying all the time. Well, whatever it is, you know, I it could be anything, you know, idol worship, you know, some people have issues with money, right? In the U.S., like Christians, it's just like, I'm driven, you know, and I hear this all the time from like believers. It's just like, I want my kids to have more than me. I want them to have a better life than me. And it's like, so the discipline that you were able to build. So this is my response to that person. So you had to build a discipline over time. And now you're this really disciplined, strong person who's like ready to take on the world, right? You know, and if you were a smart person, you would acknowledge that it was Christ working in you, right? First off, but you're there, yet you want your kids to kind of be, not have to go through all that. That doesn't make any sense. You don't want your kids to build discipline to have a better life than you. No, you have to bring your kids through like a rough discipline process, not a soft entitlement creation process. When you bring your kids into this world and you have this mindset of, I want my kids to have it better than me, I want to give them more than what I had, then you are creating entitlement. And our society, I would say that's probably the biggest issue. And it's bad when a believer is the one doing it, you know? So there has to be some level of like, you got to make life suck for the kid a little bit. It doesn't have to be like an extreme suck, but it doesn't have to be like, it shouldn't be complete comfort either, you know? And it doesn't mean that you have a lot, right? You have a lot and you want to be able to provide a lot for your children, but you also have to learn how to teach them discipline, the same discipline that you had to learn, you know? And I don't necessarily know how that's done, but that's between you and God. Like, God will tell you how to do it. You know, and you're like, well, I have all this comfort. I have all these things. But God wants to, you know, not just use that, but also use you in your child's life. And that's the next thing I want to go into is discipling your children, right? So there's this big emphasis, you know, you'll hear from pastors all the time, basically, you know, you're money hungry as a Christian in the U.S., right? Sure. A lot of times we are, but there's also the other aspect of, but it's important that you live an upright life and disciple your children in a specific, you know, in a way that God wants, you know, it's pleasing to God and God wants you to do that. And you should be, you know, you shouldn't feel like you need to do any more than that. And what do I mean? Like, maybe God's called you to do more, right? And I'm not, you know, I'm not trying to sit here and squash that. But then there's the people who, you know, me and my wife sometimes struggle with this, where it's like, man, we really need to be doing more. And it's like, but what we're doing to God is enough. And you have to know that. Like, you can't think that there's any more that you can do to please God, right? Don't think that you need to be like serving more. You know, I need to go give up my time more. I need to go do this. And maybe God doesn't, you know, maybe God's preparing you for something else. And maybe it's just not time for that. And you should be encouraged to know that, you know, you spending time with the Lord on your own, you building up your own, you know, your own life, you have kids and you're discipling your kids, you're training your kids in the way they should go. Those types of things are things that God wants you to do. And you living an upright life, you saying no to, you know, drunkenness, you saying no to pornography, you know, you saying no to this is actually, that's doing a lot more than you think, like way more than you think in the spiritual realm. Like now your influence on your children and your family, everybody can see it around you. And all of a sudden you just influence somebody else's family to do something different. And all of a sudden society is improving only because of the decision you made last night to not watch porn. You know what I mean? And that's something I think is not emphasized at all in our church today, is like, what are you doing well and how is it affecting you, your family, and then also everybody around you? And it's doing a lot more than you think. And so fighting your flesh, fighting the things that are grabbing at you is actually what you should be doing. And so that's where I have an issue with people, you know, especially in like the church, you know, like the head pastor being up there talking about, you know, and he, there's a lot of truth in this message. And so I don't want to discount that, right? The Christ in you, the hope of glory, you know, we died and now we're, you know, Christ is living in us. You know, he wants to live his life through us. He does. And that's the truth. And there's a lot of truth. However, you know, if the wrong person hears it, you know, they do. They just take it and they abuse it. And that's what people do. They abuse privileges. And I'm not saying that God doesn't, you know, God understands. God knows he's being abused all the time. He does. We abuse God all the time. We all do. But there has to be some level of like moral standard in the church in particular, right? There has to be some kind of level of, now it's, God is greater than morality. So don't let me try to sit here and preach morality. Like we need to be super moral. It's like, no, it's, you got to be beyond moral as a believer. And the only way you can do that is through Jesus. Jesus is the only way, you know, you can only do that if Jesus was living in you to be beyond moral, right? You can physically grit and discipline yourself to be, I don't watch porn, and you just grit it, right? Or you can just like feed in, you know, just activate that spirit in you. Reading, praying, worshiping, going to Bible studies, all that. You don't have to do those things, but if you don't do them, it's easier to go watch porn. Way easier, I promise. Way easier. Okay? Or whatever your thing is, go get drunk, go, lie, go gossip, right? If you're not feeding your spirit, you just go do all those things that your flesh wants to do. And so that's my aspect of it, where it's like, yeah, you could look at it as legalism. You could look at it as works, however you want to look at it. But I look at it as, if I don't do these things, I'm going to give into my flesh. And I can't explain it. I wish it wasn't that way, but it is. And I have to spend time with the Lord. I have to do this podcast. When I do this podcast, it holds me accountable to not do other things. One, also. So it's like when I'm not doing this, I notice a difference in like my thinking. So anyway. Long-winded answer. So I was talking about social churches. That was the first thing. Second thing, I went into grace versus law and just trying to, it was probably more for myself than it was for you, but understanding, you know, the difference between the two and why it's not being preached in the church, right? Or in, you know, at the pulpit. All, you know, there are churches that do preach it, you know, but I would also like to, you know, and only God knows this, right? I would also like to know what, you know, the churches that do preach the grace message and to see like how the believers are living. You know, and like I said, it's not about behavior, right? God's not trying to like, you know, he wants you to be living under grace, right? So it's not about behavior, but I would like to know how effective that message is in that particular church and you know, the way God sees it. Yeah, like I'm a little curious. And I'll know at the end, you know, he'll tell me on the last day, you know, I'll figure it out. The last thing I talked about was, you know, the way you disciple your kids and the way you live your life is way more than you think. And it means a lot more. So don't discount that. So if you're in a place where you're feeling a little beat up over, you know, I'm not doing enough, that's not true. You fighting your flesh, you deciding like, I'm not going to do this, actually did a lot more today than you think. And if you do that consistently over time, oh, you can change the world. And you might not even have to be a part of some, you know, sex trafficking organization that's helping people get out of sex trafficking. You don't even have to do that. You might be doing it just because you personally, because of the way you loved your wife or your husband, somebody saw it and it influenced them. Hey, I'm not going to continue to go this route. You know, I'm not going to continue to go out and party. I'm going to actually like look for a wife. You know, I'm going to actually like try to, you know, find a woman like that woman who I just saw how she was treating her husband. I want to go find a woman like that. And all of a sudden this guy who was headed down a path of destruction, potentially to be, you know, some pimp, you know, he just changed his life and now he's not going to be that. And all of a sudden you're the way you were living your life. You weren't giving into your flesh. This guy saw it and he changed his life. Who knows? I don't know, but I'm just saying you living your life uprightly and denying your flesh and taking up your cross and following Jesus, right, does a lot more than we even know. So just want to encourage you there. Anyway, thanks for joining us today. This is your brother James, and this is the Not As I Will podcast.